Good morning again. Before I start my sermon, I just want you to be gracious to my language because sometimes when I preach in English, I do mistakes and sometimes I have a hard time. I hope that you will be gracious to me. I remember when I was preaching at one of the churches in California, and actually I was teaching. And when I prepare, I'm doing okay. But when people ask me questions, sometimes I do lots of mistakes. And after my teaching, this guy asked me some question. I was going to answer him with the passage from the Matthew first. And I was going to tell him that when we look at the Jesus genealogy, there is four women in it. What I said is, when we look at the Jesus gynecology, there is four women in it. And then people started laugh and laugh like you guys, and I had no idea why they were laughing, and I didn't say anything funny. And after the service, this guy came to me, and he told me that, Ramazan, I don't believe that Jesus ever had a gynecology. And then when I learned what his gynecology means, I was more embarrassed. I hope we will not have a moment like that here. Yes, I'm from Turkey. I don't know how much you know about Turkey, but Turkey is a multicultural country. Even the majority are Sunni Muslim, there are many minority group as well. Because of the Sunni Muslim has so much power, other religious and ethnic groups not treated equally. The result of this, there is fire, hatred, fighting, revenge and war between the various group. If we look at the Turkish history, sadly, Turkey has a dark history of mistreating a minority group. More than 1 million people were killed during the Armenian genocide in Turkey. And still today, Turkey doesn't acknowledge this as a Holocaust. And because of what happened in the history, still many Turks hate Armenians, and many Armenians also hate Turks. And I believe the biggest problem in Turkey today is still the discrimination towards minority groups. During the last 4 years, Turkey has been especially facing difficult times. For example, one of the biggest problems in Turkey between the Turks and the Kurds, two separate ethnic groups living in Turkey. The report says that since 1974, nearly 70,000 people were killed because of this fight and the racism between these two groups. And the majority of these deaths have been Kurdish, and it seems no one has learned despite this long history, because the problem seems to get worse and worse every year between those two groups. 4 years ago, we hoped that there was going to be a peace agreement between these two groups, but instead, they chose to speak with guns again. Now, that's why you hear a lot of news on the media about Turkey, that there was much bombing, killing, and a lot of fights going on. And not only for the Kurdish people, but many minority groups also facing the discrimination by government and by Turkish people in Turkey. As a Christian, we also face discrimination by government and Turkish people too. The population of Turkey is 80 million, but there is only between 4 and 5,000 Turkish Christians live in whole country. And today, how government treat the Christians, or how Turkish people treat the Christians, is very sad, because we face many discrimination, threat, and pressure from the Turkish people. But in spite of these, we see that God is working in Turkey. And I believe that the problem of discrimination or racism, it's not the only problem of Turkey. And we see this problem almost like everywhere around the world. And I believe that, Europe and also America has this problem too. I have some friends that they were Muslim and they told me some stories that how they faced also discrimination in America too. And sometimes the between the these kind of problems between Muslims and Christians, it makes the problems actually bigger and bigger between us. My friend, there is nothing new about suspicions, and there is nothing new about hatred of one group for another. And there is nothing new about desire for revenge. Even we see this problem in the Bible. Jews hated Samaritan, and the Samaritan hated Jews. That extended even to Jesus and his disciples too. When we look at Luke chapter 9, we see that Jesus and his disciples, they are going to mission trip. And they are healing many people, they are making lots of miracles, and also they are sharing the news from the kingdom of God. And then they wanted to visit this village in Samaria. And when Jesus wanted to enter this village with his disciples, the Samaritans, they rejected Jesus. And they didn't want Jesus and his disciples to come into their village. They didn't want to accept them. They didn't want to have relationship with them. And then after that, what happened? When they rejected Jesus and his disciples, the Jesus disciples got angry. James and John are furious. They are steamed, and they go to Jesus and say, "Lord, do you want us to command fire from above to destroy them? Lord, should we teach them a lesson? Lord, should we show them who is the boss? Lord, should we make them pay for what they did to us?" Remember, Jesus' disciples have been with Jesus for a while now, and they know that Jesus has amazing power because they witnessed that he healed many people from the sickness, and he also walk on the water, and he calmed the sea, and he raised the dead people from the dead. And also they saw that he fed 5,000 people with two fish and five loaves of bread. And they know that Jesus has that amazing power because they saw many of his miracles. And also Jesus shared this power with them. If you remember, Jesus sent them to mission trip two by two. And then when they went to this mission trip and they healed many people and they helped many people like that, they did the miracles like Jesus did. And when we look at this passage, we see that the disciples want to use this power to destroy the Samaritans. They got really angry when the Samaritans rejected them. The text brilliantly explained Jesus' response. It says, after Samaritans reject them, Jesus turned his disciples and rebuked them. Then they went to another village. That's it. You see, no fire, no judgment, no words of recrimination or rebuke for Samaritan village. The only rebuke Jesus gave, he reserved for his own disciples for thinking of such a things. Then he simply takes them to another village if it will receive them. The disciples looked to brandish the power of their religion as a flame of terror. Jesus kept trying to teach them that to do is a tragic misuse of the power of their religion. Only after the cross did the message sink in. Only gradually did they came to understand that they were seeking the wrong things. Then they were glad that Jesus had stopped them. The Samaritans and the Jews very different from one another. Bible tells us that they had very different belief system and they didn't like each other. In fact, they were enemies. The Jews didn't want to do anything with Samaritans, and the Samaritans didn't want to do anything with Jews. There was a lot of hatred and many cultural barriers between those two groups of people. The disciples were Jews too. Jesus knew the picture they had in their minds regarding the Samaritans. The disciples would have believed that the Samaritans could not be included in the family of God. As a Jews, they were children of God. As a Samaritans, they were dirty outsiders. And also they had so much hatred in their heart regarding to Samaritans. Just look at what James and John said in the passage. They said to Jesus, "Lord, do you want us to bring the fire from above to destroy them?" Think about this, my friend. If Jesus couldn't change their racist mindset, how could he pass on his ministry to them? And how could he send them to preach the good news to all the other nations? That's why during his ministry, Jesus focused on the breaking down the walls of hatred between Jews and Samaritans. He used every opportunity to work towards this goal. There is a lot of example in the Bible about this. Once the Pharisees and disciples came and asked Jesus, "Hey, Rabbi, who is our neighbor?" And then Jesus gave an example of good Samaritan, isn't it? He didn't use the good example as Jews or the other nation. He used the Samaritans because he wanted to say something positive about Samaritans. Because everybody in his community, they are talking wrongly about Samaritans. They reject Samaritans. They don't like Samaritans. But Jesus wanted to say something positive about them. That's why he gave that good Samaritan example to Jews. And then we see another example in John 4. When Jesus was with his disciples, he sent his disciples away to bring some food. And during that time, when he was staying on the whale, and there is one Samaritan woman came, and he wanted to get some water. And Jesus asked water from her. And the Samaritan woman was shocked that Jesus asked water from her. And even if you look at the passage, the Samaritan woman says that, "How can you ask for a drink from me? You are a Jew and I am a Samaritan. The Jews doesn't associate with Samaritans." The Samaritan woman was shocked that Jesus engaged the conversation with her. And also, we see that disciples of Jesus were also shocked that Jesus engaged conversation with this woman. But Jesus showed her love and respect, and he shared gospel message with her. And after she met with Jesus, her life changed, long story short. And then she went to her village and she shared what happened with Jesus. And she shared about Jesus with her village. And with her testimony, many peoples also come to learn more from Jesus. And they invited also Jesus to their village. And Jesus and his disciples stay there for 3 nights to have relationship with Samaritans. You see, through her testimony, the many people life change in that village. The last example that I have for you comes after the time of resurrection. Jesus sent out his disciples to all the nation. In Acts 1, chapter 1, verses 8, Jesus said, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Then you will be my witness in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." I believe Jesus especially included Samaria here because he wanted his disciples to go to Samaritans. If he didn't include the Samaria here, if he said go to Jerusalem, Judea, and all the other nations, maybe they wouldn't go to Samaria. But he included that there because Jesus wanted to destroy the hatred between them. In the book of Acts, chapter 8, we see that Jesus reached his goal. First, Philip went to Samaria, and he shared the gospel with Samaritans. And after he shared the gospel with Samaritans, many Samaritans became a Christian, and they started to follow Jesus. When this news went to Jerusalem, the disciples, John and Peter, they went to Samaria to check on them. And when they went to Samaria, they saw that these people came to Christ. And what they did, they put their hand on them and they pray for them. And after they pray, the Samaritans received the Holy Spirit. One of the symbols of the Holy Spirit, we see that in the Bible, is a fire, isn't it? When we look at the Luke chapter 9, the disciple of Jesus, John, for example, he wanted to bring the fire from above to destroy the Samaritans. But in the book of Acts chapter 8, we see that same disciples, John, who wanted to bring the fire to destroy the Samaritans, he brought the different kind of fire from above to save the Samaritans. Do you see between Luke chapter 9 and book of chapter 8 how his heart was changed? Because Jesus taught him and he learned from Jesus that he shouldn't hate the Samaritans. He shouldn't reject the Samaritans. He should accept them and love them and give them value. And that's what he learned. And then his heart was changed. In the book of Acts, we see that he had now mercy and love towards Samaritans. And I believe the only way for us now to destroy hatred between Muslim and Christian and with other groups is the true having an attitude of Christ. Once we started show love and mercy towards every people around us and our neighbors, and we will see that Jesus break down the walls between us. I like this saying. Once Abraham Lincoln said, I destroyed my enemies when I make them my friends. I also like this saying too. It comes from Martin Luther Jr. King. It says, "Love is the only force capable of transforming an enemy into friends." And I wanted to share one testimony from my life that how Jesus changed my heart and my friend's heart. And I was a communist before I came to Christ. And I hated nationalist Turkish people. And I had a friend that he became a Christian also in our church. And he was former nationalist. He became a Christian in our church. And now he is pastoring another church in Turkey. And he hated communists. And also he hated Kurdish people. After we became a Christian, God changed our heart and our minds regarding to each other. And we didn't like each other in the beginning when we were going to church. But then Jesus changed our heart, and then we became a really good friends together. And then one day when he was going to get married, ironically, he was getting married with Kurdish woman, and he called me to perform his ceremony. And I went over there, and then we prayed before the ceremony, and I realized, and I told my friends, look at that. You were nationalist, and I was communist, and you're Kurd, and here we are together under the cross and praying for each other and calling each other a brother. And I believe this is the only Jesus can do. Jesus broke down the walls in our heart towards each other, and we accept each other as brother. And I would never imagine in this world that my best friend would be a nationalist, former nationalist. And I have another example that when I was preaching in California, after my sermon, this young man came and he introduced himself to me. And he said, Pastor Ramazan, I'm an Armenian. And I hated all my life Turks. And I hated them so badly. And also my family too. And then he said, you know, 2 years ago, I became a Christian. And after I became a Christian, God showed me that I should change my heart towards Turk. And when I felt what God told me, and I started fasting and praying about this, you know what? Now, I don't hate Turks. I love Turks. And I pray for you, for your country, and I pray for the brothers and sisters in Turkey. And then he told me, can we pray together? And we sit down and we pray together for Turkey. And also he gave me a really big hug. You know, this is how Jesus changed hearts and the minds. And I wanted to give you some challenge today before I finish. What can you do in your life if you see that there are barriers regarding to other people? You can start with communication, and others can see you, who you are in Christ. How do you treat people in your life? Do you treat them like the disciples did, or do you treat them like as Jesus would? Do you feel uncomfortable with them? Do you look at them as they were nothing to you? My friend, my question today for you is, who is the Samaritan in your life? Maybe not Muslims, maybe Arabs, or blacks, or white, or Mexicans, Democrat, or Republicans. Homeless people, or your neighbor, or someone at this church that you are not comfortable with. Who is the Samaritan in your life? And what kind of fire do you want to bring on your Samaritans? Do you want to bring the fire from above to destroy it, your Samaritans? Or do you want to bring the fire from above to bless your Samaritans? My friend, if you look at your life and if you see that there are Samaritan in it, you need to do something about that wall. Because Jesus doesn't want you to have that wall in your heart. He wants to break this wall that you can reflect his character to those people. And he wants you to love them and show them mercy and grace. Because the Lord himself, he loves them and he gives them value. And he wants you to do the same thing for your Samaritans. If you start thinking positive about them, if you start saying something positive about them, if you start praying for them and for your heart, then you will see that Jesus will change your heart like he changed the disciples John's heart, he changed my heart, and he changed my friend's heart, and he will change also your heart too. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your words. And we thank you that you are in the business of changing our hearts. Father, we wanted to give you our hearts and we want you to change. And when we look at our hearts and when we see that there are Samaritan in it, please help us to show respect and love to our Samaritans and help us to change our feelings and thoughts regarding to our Samaritans, that we can welcome them as a brother and sister in you. Father, please help us to change our heart like you changed John's heart and like you changed my heart too. Father, we love you and we are giving all the praise because you deserve that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.